Glad to see each one of you tonight. Glad that you're here. And I know that the Lord is going to bless you for your effort in coming out. And it does take a little effort. Here tonight, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I think it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I don't have about two or three verses I'm going to read. And so tonight, oh, plus two, we got a business meeting right after service. And I'm going to try my very best to cut off about quarter till 10 till so we can have a business meeting. But tonight, I got about three verses I want to really read. And it says right up here, it says the very first verse, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." Then here at verse 7, it says, "So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. For he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor." In verse 9, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." Father, Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you that we can be in thy presence tonight in the house of God, the house of prayer, in your sanctuary, Father. Now, Lord, I pray tonight, Lord Jesus, that you would give me liberty. And Father, that you may speak to my heart through what you've given me. And Father, we pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit and God the Father and God the Son, the Trinity, the Triune God, would have complete right of way in this service tonight. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, you'll put the hedge around each and every one of us. Father, because even though we are just small in number, we know that the devil can still come in. And he can still shake our faith. So, Father, we pray tonight, Lord Jesus, you put the hedge around us. That when that hedge that is around us, that has been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. And we know that Satan hates the blood. And Father, we pray tonight that you will give us all something anew, Father, that we can hang on to. The Lord, that we can hang on to the rest of this week. In the days to come, Father. Father, go with us today, we pray. Touch tonight that only you can touch. Not my will, Father, but your will be done tonight in speaking to hearts and lives. Speak to me also, Father. We pray. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen and amen. We've seen right here where we go up to the very first verse there, and it speaks about a brother and could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Other words, that they could not speak unto the individual that they were speaking to about the spiritual matters. They could not speak to them. They could not talk to them about the spiritual realm. They could not even speak about the church. They could not even speak to the people about the Word of God. They couldn't even speak to them about God. Because why? Because the people had got so carnal and got so carnal minded that they didn't want to hear it. I know that some people, and I've heard some preachers say, that the individual, an individual that's carnal is not saved. Well, I'm not going to get in an argument with nobody about it. If that's what they want to believe, fine. But that's not what right here it says. It says, our brethren could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Verse 2, it says, I have fed you with milk. And not with me. He is still speaking to the carnal individual. How did they get carnal? Because there was not taught what the Word of God was telling them. Yes, they were probably saved, but they were still on the milk. They were still on that pacifier, if you want to say. They were still on the things that they wanted. They didn't want nothing else to where that they would have to feel like that they had to do something else. Because I think that's what's wrong with a whole lot of people today. And the reason a whole lot of people is not in church. But you go and talk to them. And you know yourself, you've talked to some. And you know of some that is a Christian. You know when they got saved. And you know when they were served the Lord. You know when they was in church and how faithful they was to it. But something was said that landed on the heart that they could not get rid of. It was always there. It was nagging at them. And where are they at today? But I believe that also, yes, they done got a little carnal. They done got a little sidetracked, you want to say. But they're still on the milk. And they don't want to get away from that milk. They don't want to get away from the milk to where they can have some meat. They don't want to. And talking about meat now, you can talk about meat. You can talk about that's speaking about the vegetables. That's speaking about the potatoes. That's speaking about anything else besides the milk or the water. Everything else, you have a little meat to it. It's not the type of meat that we look at today. That we think we go out here, well, we're going to buy some hamburger today. We're going to buy a roast beef today. Or we're going to buy some steaks today. That's not what that the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. That is not what he is saying. That's not even what Paul says. Paul don't mean that where he says, if I take of that meat, or if I take of that, and if it offends you, I will not do it. Paul could have been eating certain things to where an individual or a family that he was visiting at the time, that they didn't like it. And their tradition, they have never ate it before. And they looked kind of funny at Paul when Paul was asking for it. But then Paul come back and he told them, says, if it offends you, I will not do it. We as Christians, we should not do anything that will offend the other people. They know their condition. They know where they're at. They know where their standings is at with the Lord. They know what they've got to answer for. I believe that with all my heart. But they have been led astray by the people that they're in contact with. The old saying is, if a dog lies with fleas, then he's going to get up and he's going to have fleas. Now, speaking about the individual, the people, I know that dogs do not have a soul. They don't have a soul. You got some people out here thinks they do. But they don't have a soul. They can't think. They don't have a choice. They can't determine between this and that, what's right and what's wrong. I know people the same way. They can't discern between the difference between right and wrong. But they don't realize that every day that they wake up, they have to choose. And they have to make a choice. They have to make choices all day long. They don't just get up and make one choice that morning and what they're going to do. They don't make a choice that, well, I got to get up and I got to go to work. No, they got to make choices about what they do. They got to make choices about what they're going to eat for lunch. They got to make choices in what they say and what they speak about to individuals. We make choices all the time. But we can make either the right choice or the wrong choice. It's up to us. You know, God don't pressure us. Has God pressured you? Has God pressured me in doing something that He wants me to do? No, He don't pressure me. He don't pressure you. What He did do, He hung on Calvary's cross for you and for me, to where we can be born again, washed in His precious blood, and then we could make the choices. We could make the choices either to serve Him today, or we make the choices not to serve Him today. So many people today makes the wrong choice. And they really don't know what they're doing. A whole lot of them is setting their self up for the devil to take them all the way where he wants to take them. That's the reason some people's not going to receive a reward. In the Word of God, there's five different rewards. The first one is the crown of life. That's a reward. That's not something that God just gives out just to be given out. You have to earn that. How do you earn that? When the Holy Spirit speaks to you and tells you that you're lost and He wants to take you to the Savior. And the Savior wants to confirm to you if you're lost or if you're saved. James 1 and verse 12 said, "Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him." Do you love God? Do I love God? Do I love Him to the point that I would be willing to go where He wants me to go and I will speak to people? We can attain, and we do obtain strength. He strengthened us through what? Temptation. We can go back to over there in the book of Genesis, chapter 21 and 22, and it's speaking about Abraham and speaking about Isaac. God put Abraham to the test. He wanted to see if Abraham was going to be the man that God thought he was. You say, wait a minute, now you're contradicting yourself. God knows everything. He does. He knows everything. But He puts us to a test to see what we would do on our own. See if we have the same faith that we have in Him that we had yesterday. Do I have the same faith today that I had Sunday? Do I have the same faith that I had week before last? He tests us each and every day. He don't tempt us. He tests us. The only one that God will tempt is the non-Christian. He does not tempt one of His children. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3, it says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation," what? "Worketh patience." So if we really want to have patience, if we want to have patience with somebody, then we have got to go through God's test. We got to go through the tribulation. We have got to go through the God's plan. I've got to go through God's plan before He can bless me.
And before I can have the patience. You can ask my wife. I never have been the individual, and I do lack in that, in patience. I do. But I try my very best to be patient with the people that I speak to. Now, when it comes down to between my family and what they're talking about, my family is always going to come first. I'm not going to allow somebody to run over my family. I'm not going to allow somebody to talk about my family and run them down. I'm not going to allow somebody to talk about Faith Baptist Church in a way when what it's doing is running it down. I just don't have the patience for that. And I have, since I've been here, I've met one individual that has told me, he said, "What in the world are you doing down there?" He said, "Why are you down at Faith?" Now I'm going to tell you exactly what he told me. He says, and I don't believe it, but he said this. He says, "That church down there has never done anything. Never has done anything." I said, "No, wait a minute. Now, we're going to stop right there. That's my church. That's where I go Sunday and Wednesday, Monday through Friday. I go there. That's my church. It's the Lord's church, but that's where God has placed me at. So if you want to talk to me, if you want to ask me a question, just don't talk to me about church. Because I'm not going to stand here and allow you to say what you're saying because if you say the wrong thing, I might just turn over to the side and say, Lord, just forgive me for the next 5 or 10 minutes, please. And I'm going to say some things to you that you ain't going to like. And should not even come out of my mouth." But see, that's the problem we have today. That's the problem that we have today. People talk. They talk about the church. They'll talk about you. They'll talk about me. But where are they at? I told him this. I says, "If you want to talk about the church, then you need to come down and check the church out. You need to come in and be in the service. And if you don't like what is said, you can just turn around and walk on out. I don't have time for people like you because there are other people out here. There are other people out here hurting. And they're wanting us, me and you to help them with some situations and with some problems that they have. You know, I thought I had some problems. But the Lord is still blessing me each and every day. I may have problems with my liver. I may have problems with my kidneys. But one thing about it, There's somebody else right here worse off than I am. Worse off than I am. I need to be thankful. We all need to be thankful for what health that we do have. Because there are people that has sinned against God. There's people, there's Christians that has sinned against God for so long now. Some of them is in a nursing home. Some of them is at home in a bed at the house looking up. You cannot say that you're a Christian. And you cannot say that you serve God and then all of a sudden you go about doing what you want to do. Because what is that doing? That's telling God, say, God, I ain't never believed anything you said. I ain't never believed anything what the pastor said. I don't believe in your word. Basically, that's what they're saying. We don't need people that are willing to get past what's going on. We need to get past yesterday. We don't need to think about yesterday. I don't need to think about Sunday. What if I'd preach this message Sunday? I can't do anything about it. But I can do something about what's right now. I can do something about what I do tomorrow and the next day. But see, if I don't do what I know is right tomorrow, then I just say, well, I just didn't care. There's one word in the Bible that I love it every time I see it in Scripture. One thing about it, if you see it in Scripture, you can bet your bottom dollar that the Lord wants us to do something. And that's the word ashamed. Ashamed is the same thing as being embarrassed. Did you realize that there's a whole lot of people that's ashamed what God has done for them? They're ashamed at Him because He went to Calvary and He hung on the cross for them. They are ashamed of the salvation that is so freely given. They are also ashamed of the service that the Lord asked them to do. They are so ashamed about so many things. And we should never be ashamed of what the Lord Jesus has done for us. Never. Because I tell you, He done more for me than anybody else that I know of. I mean, when I say that, now I'm speaking about everything else. I'm not speaking about the cross. That right there, nobody could do. I know that. But since the day that I got saved, of all the things that He's done for me, all the blessings that He's bestowed upon me and my family, I can't forget about it. It's there. It's a reminder to me each and every day of His blessings. Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that You would just help us. Father, that we can continue. Father, to be faithful to You, to love You, and Lord, and continue to do what You'd asked us to do. Father, we just ask, Lord, now that You would go with us through the business meeting. And Father, we don't have that much, so we won't be here that long. But Father, we just want to thank You for Your love toward us. Thank You, Lord, for saving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.